You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
BC hosts many music festivals throughout the summer, but none like Under the Volcano. This year, Under the Volcano, billed as a festival of arts and social change, marks its 20th year with Veda Hilly and Delhi to Dublin, and a dialogue between Arthur Manuel and Naomi Klein. It's also the festival's final year as the organized close this chapter of activist organizing and set their focus elsewhere. We thought it was a great opportunity to look back at Under the Volcano's 20 years and forward to tomorrow's offering. Erwin Ustindi is a founder of Under the Volcano, and he joins me now in the studio. Hi, Erwin.
Hello, good morning.
Now, for people who have never been to Under the Volcano, set it up in our mind's eye. What happens in Kate's Park on that that August day?
I guess people gather. That's the main thing. People, you know, not necessarily like-minded people gather. People gather in a park, in a beautiful park in Tsleil-Waututh Nation territory in North Vancouver. And they experience something different than the typical music festival. They experience a lot of sense of community. For a lot of people, it's one of their highlights. In the same way that a lot of your listeners will know, the folk festival for many people is the highlight of their summer. For other people, more perhaps politically involved, active people, the Under the Volcano is a way to connect, reconnect, see friends, learn what's current in political movements, and have those ideas reflected by artists and musicians from the stage back to them. So it's a gathering primarily, but it's also an inspiring political gathering as well.
Now, the festival, it's not really about a genre like jazz or folk, like some of the other festivals are. So what does the festival tend to look for in musicians that makes them a good fit for Under the Volcano?
I imagine, political commitment. People who are able to, I think for long-term political organizers, people know that, cultural... cultural experience is just like the food we eat, the shelter we have. Culture and having our culture reflected back to them is a really inspiring way, a way to sustain our work. And so artists who have those types of ways of navigating perhaps success, commercial success, or independent success, but able to navigate that and stay connected with movements. So looking at inspiring people who really tour, who work in communities, in inner city communities, in rural Aboriginal communities, and use their culture as a way of inspiring, as a way of sustaining, cultural resistance.
Mm. Now, the festival's been run as a radical event, and it's also run on a radical model in terms of what it charges and how it organizes. How's it different there from commercial festivals?
You know, I was looking through the archives this week because we have an exhibition, a history exhibition, cultural archive exhibition at W2 this month about the festival. And looking back in 2003, this is about the same time Under the Volcano was growing really exponentially. We would leaflet 20,000 people every year, young people, political people, all over the Lower Mainland, really targeting young people, people of color, First Nations youth, to come out and try this festival out. And at that time, Lollapalooza was also emerging, and Lollapalooza was this kind of alternative punk rock, various so-called alternative culture. But in fact, it was Pepsi, it was the Ticketmasters, it was the entire music industry, very, very patriarchal music industry, selling, a consumption culture to thousands and thousands of youth across North America. So we, at the festival cover guide in 2003 has a picture of a dinosaur driving down a road heading to Lollapalooza. And so rather early, we were really critical of the music industry and cultural consumption, and wanted to do a thing where we encourage people to understand culture in their lives, the value of culture. So there's always been a by donation ticket price. Eventually we realized that people and our consumer culture are so geared to consumption patterns that when it's so-called free, then people will only give a donation of $3. So over the years we did tighten it up a bit, so the donations are higher. But it is really intended to be about reflecting people's culture, and in particular, as we grew to about 8,000 people per year, it was very much about people, communities coming together, promoting the festival, volunteering for the festival. So the festival was only as strong as the communities that we worked with and served.
What are your thoughts on the role and influence of Under the Volcano to the overall cultural and activist scene in Vancouver?
It's hard for me because I've been certainly myself and others, dozens of other organizers, we were so involved in that. So it's kind of hard to necessarily see objectively how that is. But I certainly see the sense that on a personal level, the last 7 years I've been building W2 as a permanent under the volcano, as a physical space, a building where these types of cultural productions and practices can take place 365 days of the year. So for me, I know the incredible role, the desperate need, especially for young people as they're emerging in suburbs, in the city, as they're trying to understand the terrible wrongs and ills in our society, they need to have that sense of connection. And so Under the Volcano has done that. And jokingly, some of us call it the largest trade show of the left in BC every year. It's a place that people connect. It's the largest gathering of political organizations every year. For some years, we did an activist directory. For many years, it was the only activist directory I ever saw in BC. So we played a kind of infrastructure role. And just like Co-op Radio and the listeners and members of Co-op Radio know, keeping Co-op Radio on the air is damn hard work, but it's critical work. Festivals like Under the Volcano, taking public space for critical thinking is desperately needed, especially now as we live in such conservative times. So the role of Under the Volcano is key, just as these other infrastructure pieces like Co-op Radio or community television are key.
And one of the aspects of Under the Volcano that you don't see, you called it a trade show, used that metaphor, and I think one of the things that's quite different from it is that it takes its info fair very seriously as a platform for people to engage and bring forth their issues.
Yeah, and speakers, this year there's a keynote speaker, Naomi Klein and Arthur Manuel. That was always part of it as well. It's like, why do music festivals have to just be about beer gardens and entertainment? It's incredibly nice to be entertained, and we've had artists, hundreds of artists play Under the Volcano over the years. But it's really the biting speakers. It's like, yeah, I get that. And speakers who speak from especially marginalized communities that are kind of outside, in particular, the left can be quite white. Under the Volcano, really in the 90s in particular, branded the festival very much in line with Native sovereignty issues, hip-hop culture, always trying to figure out who were those voices that were needing a larger platform and showcasing them here in Vancouver.
Now, I think for some people, the festival is wrapping up this year after 20 years. What kind of pressures went into that decision?
Sustainability is a key issue here, and I don't mean sustainability as in wearing Mountain Equipment Co-op clothing and not drinking Coca-Cola, but sustainability is really about how do we do our work and how do we sustain our work, how do we keep our families, how do we keep our workloads, our personal lives, how do we keep the organization's economic work. So that the project can keep thriving, so that it doesn't burn people out. And when you're doing a by donation event that's dependent on beautiful weather for people to come, it's historically the driest day of the year, the second Sunday of August. But having said that, last year there was a rainfall, and the Festival Collective really took it heavy financially, $15,000 debt, so more than that. So It really is evident that it's only 1 year away from financial disaster, and the organizers, the collective this year, which I'm not on the collective, but I'm certainly privy to their conversations, really felt that that project at that site, in the way it was organized, wasn't able to be done in such a way that it didn't pull down a lot of their other organizing efforts. So certainly, and if people will read the Under the Volcano Festival guide, there's some great reading in there. The collective talks about, that this is not the end of Under the Volcano. This is the end, perhaps, of this particular project called the Festival of Art and Social Change. But clearly the work is ongoing. The spirit is there. The passion is there. And the organizers will be reemerging with other Under the Volcano projects.
And for people who are going to show up tomorrow at Kate's Park, what can they look forward to?
Well, right from noon onwards, beautiful music, inspiring folk music, punk rock, hip hop, voices from, as I mentioned, the inner city, from reserves, from all around the urban, the rural, critical voices, beautiful voices, this is really about merging communities together and looking at and looking at inspiring styles of genres of music that we don't typically see. So everything from 1930s blues and hillbilly music to punk rock, inner city punk rock, Latino hip hop. So this all kinds of music all day long on various stages throughout the 55 acres of Kate's Park. And there's lots of good bus service out to North Vancouver, and people can call transit information to get the bus service. There's also a free shuttle from Broadway SkyTrain station. So lots of ways to get there. And once they arrive on the site, such a beautiful space in the forest there. It's rain or shine, and we anticipate some drizzle, so that's fine. And people can eat some food there, hang out, wander around the information fair, and wander down a forest path to the poetry stage. Just really enjoy themselves, maybe wear a nice spring or fall jacket in case it's a little drizzly, but otherwise it's rain or shine and ready to roll.
It's Vancouver. I guess we'll figure that part out. Yeah. Sounds amazing. Thank you very much for joining me.
Okay, thanks.
So gates open tomorrow at noon at Kate's Park in North Vancouver, and I've been speaking with Irwin Oostindes, one of the founders of Under the Volcano. There are posters up all around town, and I actually decorated the studio with one here for our interview today. The website is volcano.resist.ca.